Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Let's start with the centurion, the story of the centurion, and then I would trust God to take us from there. I read this testimony of a man that was caught by the running idling propeller of an airplane. Now, the number of people who have survived walking into a running turning propeller is zero. But the propeller took him, swung him on the airplane, landed him on the floor. And God kept him conscious. All he could see was his leg was somewhere on his head. He could see because he was conscious. He started laughing. The pilots ran out and they apologized. Sorry. We should have put aside. They said, why are you apologizing? You've done me a favor. I'm going to see Jesus very soon. I'm on my way. You have done me a favor. I know where I'll go when I leave this body. And then the thought just occurred to me, and I said, okay, God, do you want me home now? Or just have something for me to do here? Because, left to me, I would like to see Jesus right now. But what are you saying? God told me, no, you're not. It's not yet done. I still need you here on earth. So, well then, you see all of this, you have to heal it. But I'm asking for one thing, keep me conscious throughout the whole time. So he didn't lose consciousness, even though he had lost lots of blood. And yesterday, the man is still, he was healed, and he's still working for God. But the reason why, when I heard that testimony, what struck my heart was, Tunde, what do you want to be remembered for? This is a man. The doctor said there was nothing they could do for his hips. Because they wrote it off. You'll just be on a, if you survive, you're going to be on a, what's it called? Wheelchair for the rest of it. No, bit by bit, the pieces that they couldn't even find, God restored him. He is healed and whole today. And I asked myself, Tunde, what do you want to be remembered? What do you want to be remembered for? I'm not saying I'm going to die very soon, but if you are to write what's going to be on a tombstone, what words? Here lies the remains of Baba Tunde Afolabi Omotayo Ogunka, a man who walked with God. That is what I want to be remembered for. I walked with God. And left me, the anointing that took Enoch up is still here. Because the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was no more, because they were just having a chat one day and before he knew it, he was in glory. Yeah? So that can also, that anointing is still available. But that is what I want to be remembered for. That I walked with God. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? Because I hope you understand. I hope you appreciate. You decide. It's not God. You decide. You decide it, and you can decide it now and walk towards it. All right. Matthew chapter 8, please. Yes. Matthew chapter 8. Yes. The story of the centurion. I want to pick two things. I might pick a third thing. I want to pick two things from there. A centurion comes to Jesus. His servant is lying at home and says, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. So serious case. What was Jesus' answer? Who has Matthew 8 open? What did Jesus answer him? I want you to read it. I don't want to. Thank you. I will come and heal him. Thank you very much. Sorry, thank you. And that is the, every time you make contact with Jesus, for whatever it is you might need, want, or desire, that is, because he's the same yesterday, same today, same forever. That would always be his answer. I will come and okay, it's in my notes. But I will come and do your bidding is one translation. I will come and do your bidding. Every time you approach, and even though later down he says something that wants that looks like he was not in faith. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Someone does not, but he made contact with Jesus, and Jesus' answer was, I will come and I will heal him. Every time, whatever it might be, Jesus responds to you, especially once you have made contact with you, found him, and you've asked him, you've raised a faith request. His answer will always be, I will come and do your bidding. Whatever it is you want me to do. And that, even though now God is taking me off, because Jesus said, in John 14, I believe it is, he said, those who believe in me, the works I do, you will do greater works. Why? Why would you do greater works? Thank you. Because I go to the Father. He says, ask anything. Anything. And that's the reason why. So Jesus, the blind could see, he raised the lame could walk, he raised the dead, he provided food for 5,000 plus. But he now said greater. And why? Because he's gone to the Father, and all you need to do is ask in his name and say, I promise them that anything they ask in my name, we will do. So God has to do it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. As long as you have made that contact with God, Jesus' answer to you always will be, I will come and I will do your bidding. Now, then the centurion says, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Only speak a word. Went from, because that his intro looked like as if he was not in faith, but from what looked like he was not in faith, switched to complete 100% faith. Just speak a word, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also, that is powerful. He appreciated and understood that Jesus was also under authority the same way he was under authority. But then he understood authority, but he also had people under him. And all he had to do was speak to them. You go and they go. You come. You do this and you do it. And then when the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. Jesus marveled for two things, either for faithlessness or for great faith. But in this case, he marveled and he said to those around, assuredly I say to you, I have not found. Very critical what they found. If somebody finds something, what was that person doing before he found it? Thank you. God is looking for your faith. He is. A man of God once said, God is not moved by your need. You cry. God is not moved by. If not, that's what the devil do. Just create need. And God now go and quench this one. No. God does not respond to you. You can cry from today to tomorrow. You can cry as long as you want. Spoiler alert, it doesn't move God. What moves him is your faith. For him to have, he said, and these things jump out. I've been reading this thing so many times. Until that found means a lot. Jesus said, I have not found. He is looking. Whatever it is you want heaven to do for you, God is waiting for your faith. And that's what's going to move him, and that's what will bring him on the scene to do your own bidding. He said, he didn't just say, I've not found faith. I have not found such great faith. What was the great faith? What was it? Yes? Thank you. He said, just speak a word. Just speak a word. Just speak a word. And my servant, not my servant, might be healed. I mean, I need to go and check. No, just speak a word, and my servant would be healed. Such great faith is when you operate with God based on what He has said only. And say, yes, I found it. He said it. Therefore, He's going to do it. That's it. Such great faith. And then, Jesus said, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So of course we know the servant got healed. So what did it? What did the healing? What? Thank you. Because Jesus said, go as you have believed. Because what did he say? Speak a word. Speak a word. My servant will be healed. It is. See, the manifestation of God around you cannot supersede what is in your heart that you believe. That is schizophrenia. You're thinking, okay, you want God to you want God to do something, but you haven't released the faith. You haven't released it. Because it is always the same way he said, I'll come, I'll heal him. As you have believed, so let it be done. So a man of God once said that if, for example, now you need healing, yeah, and Jesus turns up in your living room, and you tell him, Jesus, this pain for the past 4 or 5 days, I've tried everything, it's not gone. What would Jesus do? He's in your living room. You can see him. And you have told him, I have this pain that doesn't want to go. What would Jesus do? What would he do? Sorry? But what would he do? like the man that was by the pool. What kind of question is that one? I am standing by the pool, waiting before I can enter. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? where am I? By my stripes, you are healed. That's what he will tell you. By my stripes, you are healed. Do you believe? You believe that then the healing will come. By my stripes, you are healed. Okay? And faith can only start when you know what God has said. Faith would only start when you know what God has said. Because if you come to me after this service and say, Mr. O, yes, my transport fare to go back home. You said, can I please have it? You said they're going to give it to me. First thing I'll ask you is, when did I say that I will pay you? until I've made a promise, you can't come to me for me to deliver. Yeah? Same thing with God. Until you have found what He has said, faith hasn't started. And that's where it starts. Because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So the question now is, what do we do to build belief? Because Jesus said, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. What can you do to build that? Amen. Because it can be frustrating. you think you know what God has said. You are praying. You are praying. But then, what are you standing on? What promise are you standing on? What promise are you working with? What have you discovered is written? Because without that, all you're doing, I must apologize, or I don't need to apologize. What you're doing is spiritual gymnastics. Nothing's happening. You're going nowhere. Like, that has a wheel, the pet that goes in the wheel. Hamster, yes. You're running, but you're in the same position. You're just going round and round and round. And you're not going anywhere until you have found what he has said. Yeah, because, they've given us the impression here, the harder you pray, to a point there was a design in America, they said you have to shout louder. The louder you, because God is very far. So the louder you shout, the easier is it for him to hear you. No. Do you want to know how God will hear you? You want to know? In Jesus' name, he's listening. In the name of Jesus, he's listening. That's it. And to be very candid, walk on a revelation of what that name can do for you. Get to the point. In the name of Jesus, you are through. You are through. In the name of, that's it. That's it. But that comes with you having, you've spent time with God's word. It is now your own revelation. That's it. It's now in the name of Jesus. That's it. And then a man of God won't crack the joke. You see, when you pray in the morning and you say, in Jesus' name I pray, thank you, Lord, and you go. Who switched off? You or God? It's you. But God is still on. God is still on. So, in the name of Jesus, you are through. Or, if you want, there was once many years ago, this thing has been troubling me. I couldn't bear it anymore. I was in school as a teacher. I went in the toilet. And I was like, I'm sure those who came to the toilet would have run back, wondering who, but I couldn't take it anymore. And that's when I went, just pray in the Holy Spirit. It was this year. It was in March. I woke up and feeling pain this side. And as medical professionals, you know. But, you know, it wasn't a... It was an annoying pain that was there. I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. I think I prayed for about 2 hours. And the pain left eventually. Only for me to check later on that night. To find out my blood pressure was slightly high. But of course, no. But I did it. That's it. I did it for 2 solid hours. And the thing decided to just leave me. And I left. But of course... when I got home later that night and I did my blood test, I checked my blood pressure and I made the mistake of telling my wife. She spent the whole night researching what to eat to bring the blood pressure back. Well, praise God. In the name of Jesus, you are through, or just pray in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't understand what you're saying. It doesn't, and you've confused him. And it's unfair because if you want to come against him on the mental realm, don't worry, he would thrash you any day, any time. But you want to have one hand over him, switch into the spirit. Le produce the kesh the kara. He doesn't assign anything anymore. He's lost. That's it. He's finished. He looked like you're being... Especially if you're in public, you look very crazy. But leave them alone. You know what you're doing. You're speaking with your Father. You're declaring mysteries in the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Mr. O, you need to answer this question. How do we build faith? How do we get to that point where, as we have believed, it now gets done for us? Romans chapter... Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's check Second Corinthians chapter 4. There's one beautiful verse there. In Second Corinthians chapter 4. Mr. O, you've passed Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, I think. Verse 13. Yes. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I have believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Romans chapter 10. Now I need to find where I'm going. Verse 8. Mr. Paul, why are you struggling? Use your reading glasses. Yes. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Those are the two places faith operates. Your mouth, your heart. If you notice the words, because words are containers. Yeah? They are either carrying faith or they're carrying fear. If you notice what you're saying, check your heart. Yeah, because if heart level is here and you're shouting there, nothing's going to happen. It needs to be, what's in your heart and in your mouth needs to synchronize. Yeah? So what you need to do now is spend more time with the word. Because this is the way it works. Jesus said, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. So you read it so that you can hear it. So it comes out of your mouth. It goes in your eyes, out your mouth, in your ear. In your eyes, say it, hear it. In your eyes, out your mouth, hear it. Until it gets to your heart. And that's it. That's the process. You just keep that on an eternal loop and keep doing that. In your eyes, out your mouth. Because every time you hear God's word, faith comes. Faith comes. But what is the heart condition? Is the heart full of faith, or is it still full of? Because I hope you know. For every time you have said something that is not the word of God, what is not faith has come. And it has occupied the space in the heart. So every time you are repeating God's word and you are hearing it, faith is coming. But that faith is not, it has to clean, the heart. Get rid of the doubt. Get rid of the faithlessness. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the unbelief. Clean it. Clean the heart up. But as you keep saying it, faith keeps coming. As you keep saying it, faith keeps coming. As you keep saying it, faith keeps coming until, out of the abundance of your heart. Until, because it's out of the abundance of your heart. Until you are filled with it. That is when the faith now goes to work on your situation. So the faith that first comes is you. It's doing a cleansing job. So that's why, the Bible says we the just shall live by faith. It's a lifestyle. You're not doing it's not 100 meter sprint. Yeah? I want my house in the name of Jesus. Yeah. It's a lifestyle. You start now and you carry on for eternity. No turning back. Especially when what you are believing God for now arrives. That's not when why would you want to stop? No, we don't stop. It is a lifestyle. Faith. Fullness. Yesterday you were there. Tomorrow you are there. Next week, still there. Next year, still there. Your children have gone to university. You paid everything. You are still there. Still doing the same thing. Because when I was coming up with, I knew God wanted me to talk about the centurion, but I was looking for title. What could I give? What title can I give my message? Faithfulness came up. Consistency. Also, whether consistency is I think we've used the word consistency. But consistency, and also patience came up, because patience simply means if does patience mean okay? I'm patient, and I'm just waiting for God. I'm being patient. I'm calm. Is that what patience means? Patient farmer. Describe a patient farmer. He has sowed a seed. The patient farmer would go back and tend the ground. Seed is there. Harvest is coming. Patience means I'm going back to make sure there are no rocks. weed it out until my harvest comes. Patience. You raised a faith request. They must, God, you get to the point. And then, why is God so powerful? Why is he so powerful? Same response. He is I am. I am. I am. He that comes to God must believe that he is. I am. Consistently the same. The same response. The response he gave the woman with issue of blood is the same response he gave the centurion. Is the same response he will give you too. So we need to build that character. Until my harvest has come, he promised it. He said he would do it. So until my harvest comes, here's where they're going to find me. I'm going to be consistent. And then, concrete. Can you believe that small, small drops of water can dissolve concrete? I've seen it. Nigeria, concrete is on the floor. Drop. Or, interesting enough, the tap that doesn't close, you go back after 3 months, it would have dissolved because it's maybe every 3 or 4 seconds, one drop, another drop. That's faithfulness. That's consistency. That's patience. You promised me. I am not moving until I get it. You have said it. You are going to do it. This is where they're going to find me. And before you know it, the faith that's coming out of your mouth is the same that's in your heart. And then, all of a sudden, you wonder, oh my God, was it so easy? Was this? Yes, it is so simple. It is absolute. We are the ones that complicated God. God is not complex. He's not complex. He's not that complicated. Amen. But when you get to that point where nothing, and then I have to say, yes, so the things we go through makes it look as if, yes, so. The devil brings situations that make it look as if God's word is not going to, but that is just screensaver. Many years ago, when I came here, it was shadow. It's a shadow. It is a shadow. It's a shadow. Because he knows, the devil knows, once you gain that first victory over him, he's finished. So he'll do everything. He will bombard you with. There was once, I was reading Mark 11. It says, speak to the mountain. 2010. Yeah, speak to the mountain. And at that time, it was a credit card bill of about 3,500. I ran up. I'll speak to the mountain. Disappear. Until it was 5 days. Oh God, this devil is very bad. 5 days later, I just found one unnecessary. What's it called? I think I contravened, so they sent me £100 fine. That just discouraged me. Ah, God, I'm trying to cancel £3,000 credit card. £100. How am I going to get £100? Don't laugh. That discouraged me completely from carrying from, because the devil knows. I just keep up because that credit card is paid off now. But all I had to do was, okay, Father in Heaven, £100. Yeah, sorry, I don't know where I got this ticket from, but then you can take care of this. So let me carry on speaking to him. And another spoiler alert, he doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. He would come up with 301 different things to try and make what God has said untrue. It's called ignore. Ignore him, or don't ignore him. Yeah, so Father, I repent for saying no. Don't ignore him. Say, come. And I know you know what small, but I don't think you know what proper. Then read God's word you are standing on to him, to let him know that I'm not playing this time. I'm going to be faithful until it happens. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be patient until it happens. Because, and the pastor said it, It's more blessed to give than to receive. All this we are doing is not, it's not so that you can now acquire things that God has done for you. No. The end point is so that you can now be a blessing to your world around you. They have bold face. They look as if all is well. A life without God is, there's nothing well about that life. They are looking for you. But here you are busy, focused on your own small. You've allowed that when God is sending you to be his to be his voice to a crying world around you. A crying world around you. So once you have now mastered how to be faithful with his word, how to be consistent with his word, you cannot become the blessing he made you to be to your world around you. Because they are crying. They are crying. They are desperate. And you have the answer they are looking for. You have the solution they are looking for. Sometimes, after Pastor Jimmy said, no, because I see it on a daily basis. These children don't know Jesus. They don't know God. Nothing. 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 Zero. And the solution. So beyond me being their maths teacher, there's life in me. There's life in me. What they're crying for. They are using both faces. They're making you look as if everything is. No. A man of God. God has been trying to call him into ministry. He did everything to run away from ministry. Until one day God opened his eyes to see the spiritual state of the church he was in. He said what he saw broke him. Because I hope you know, if you take your body and your spirit, same thing. Your spirit and you, they look at. But then, when God opened his eyes, he was seeing all these figures. Big head, skinny neck, skinny legs. And he repented and said, okay, God, yes, I'll teach the word. I'll do what you've called me to do. Yes, they make it look as if they are not. They are not. And the answer they are looking for is in you. Amen. It's in you. It is in you. Hallelujah. Have you learned something this morning? Yes, stand to your feet and let's give God praise. Hallelujah.